God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you for being with us. This is Pastor Larry. This is your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. It's pretty easy to get upset and offended. We all wrestle with the attitude that says, "This is so unfair. This shouldn't be happening to me." When problems, obstacles, frustrations, and disappointments come our way, they are either opportunities to grumble or opportunities to grow. Problems challenge our faith and what we believe about God. In fact, a lot of people use their troubles as an excuse to be mad at God or to claim that He doesn't exist. They can't reconcile a loving God who allows pain and suffering with the cross of Calvary. But friends, there is tremendous freedom and joy in trusting God. The Bible says, "Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you." Here is the lesson we all need to learn. God is smarter than we are, and He loves us more than we love ourselves. God does allow trials to come into our lives. When these trials do come, remember, God is smarter than we are, and He loves us more than we love ourselves. That will get you through the toughest of storms. Are we building the kingdom of God? Well, of course, if you know anything about the Bible, God's the one who builds the kingdom, and it has His mark on it, His stamp on it. It's His rule and reign. And yet so many times there are various theologies that put man in the middle of it, and man ends up building something, but it's certainly not the kingdom of God. Our guest today is Mac Dominic, and we're going to be talking about his series. This is Disc 3, Are We Building the Kingdom of God? There's a whole series. Mac does some wonderful studies, and he's very thorough, very detailed, very biblical. This is really good material for home study, for just listening and learning and absorbing these great biblical truths. So, Mac, it's so good to have you with us.
Oh, Larry, it's always wonderful to be on the phone with you.
Well, we go back many, many years with Cutting Edge and, you know, David, old David. How's he doing, by the way?
David's doing very well. You know, he's grumpy as usual, but he's doing very well.
Well, you know, if David wasn't grumpy, I'd think he'd have a fever or something. I'd be worried.
That's right.
Well, you could tell him we said that. We love him in the Lord. He's a great guy.
Yes, sir, we sure do.
And that's one of the things I love in ministry. God has so many wonderful servants who have so many different skills all working together for the glory of God. And I know you do that as well. So let's run down a bunch of things here that I think I'm looking at the list here. Well, let's talk about replacement theology. Sounds kind of ominous. It sounds kind of intellectualized. And it just doesn't sound good. What is replacement theology?
Well, it's not good. You hit the nail on the head there. It's not good. You know, what we're doing in this series, Larry, is that we have, in the first two discs, we've gone through and we've done a biblical study on the coming kingdom of God. And we came to the conclusion that when Jesus Christ returns, He will set up His kingdom, which will be a literal 1,000-year kingdom when He will live and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And of course, at the end of that 1,000 years, the kingdom will transfer into the eternal kingdom of God. And those of us who are born again will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Then we'll live with Him in the new kingdom, the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem for all of eternity. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we see transmitted to us through the Word of God. But what has happened in the church and in Christendom over the years, they have gotten this message confused. And so many people are being taught that the church is the kingdom of God on earth, that there's not going to be a literal 1,000-year reign. I know that Chuck Missler, if you remember Brother Chuck, in one of his series, he said that 95% of evangelical Christians do not believe there will be a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth, but they are amillennial, do not believe in a millennium, and that we are currently living in a spiritual or symbolic type of kingdom which Jesus is reigning over. And part of that goes back to St. Augustine and his famous work, The City of God, where he promoted a doctrine called replacement theology. And replacement theology tells us that the nation of Israel has been replaced by the church. That is based on the fact that the Catholic Church looked at the Jews as the people who killed Jesus, who crucified the Messiah. The church now is the new people of God that is replacing the nation of Israel. So all the promises that God made to Israel are now given to the church, and the church is equal to Israel, and Israel is equal to the church, and the church has replaced Israel as the children of God and the people of God. So, you know, we have to realize that even the New Testament, you know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans asked the question, has God set aside his people? And he answers his own question. He says, God forbid. Absolutely not. God is still keep his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the nation of Israel, and the church is grafted in as the people of God, not replacing the nation of Israel, and there will be a thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. He will reign from Jerusalem. He will, and King David himself will be the resurrected prince of Israel. And it's a wonderful message the Bible pieces together for us, but we have to take the whole Scripture, let Scripture interpret Scripture, and we come to the understanding that the church has not replaced Israel, but the church is grafted in with Israel, and we will be the one children of God and people of God when it comes to the millennial reign of Christ.
Right. You know, Matt, when you look, Mac, when you look at medieval Roman Catholic theology, and I'm sure there are a lot of Roman Catholics today who don't even know anything about that, and they would probably disagree with it. But the church, the way the Roman Catholic Church was constituted, it had the power of the sword. I mean, it could execute heretics. There was no separation of church and state. If you were, quote, a heretic and did not agree with their theology, the Pope could send out the army to come and take you away, kind of thing. So, you know, it was just a crazy, crazy idea that, you know, promoted all kinds of horrible abuses in the name of Jesus Christ. And, of course, that's not what, you know, when Jesus said, I will build my church, that's not what he was talking about. He was not talking about a military kingdom at all.
That's right. But, you know, unfortunately is probably the wrong word, but we'll use that for the sake of my lack of command of the English language. But unfortunately, you know, the Protestant Reformation did not recognize this error. And so the Protestant Reformation still identifies the kingdom too exclusively as being the church. I studied one author that said that the Protestant Reformers, although they did many wonderful things, and that's absolutely true, their eschatology was really messed up. And they embraced many of them, and that's why 95%, according to Missler, 95% of evangelicals today are amillennial, because the Reformation, where the Reformers fell short in their eschatology, and, you know, although they may have, you know, Martin Luther had a very good grasp of the just shall live by faith and justification by faith, they did not grasp the book of Revelation at all, and they didn't have a good grasp of true biblical eschatology. And so, unfortunately, not only was it Roman Catholicism, but it carried forward with the Reformers, and that's what we're seeing in evangelicalism today, is that the people want to follow those from the Reformation, and many of those things are good and wonderful.
Right. The magisterial reformers, like Calvin and some of the others, they thought that they would work with the magistracy, that is, the civil government, and so they had the same idea. if, like Michael Servetus was a heretic and he criticized the Trinity, he criticized John Calvin, well, we'll get that guy, we'll burn him at the stake. You know, that's the kingdom idea when it's so warped and when you don't have the right eschatology. So you're absolutely right. Calvin and Luther were right on justification, but eschatology and things to come, they really missed it. And I, you know, I say that. I love the reformers, but they really missed it in those areas. So go ahead.
That's right. We have to be honest. We all, as born-again Christians, owe a lot to the Protestant reformers in our day and age. But we also have to recognize where, well, it's like anything else. We have to hold ourselves accountable to the whole of Scripture. And so we have to first hold ourselves accountable, and when we hold ourselves accountable, then we have to evaluate and discern every teacher, every individual in accordance to the Word of God. And that's really the key, and that's where so many Christians also today fall short, is they get to following a man or get to following a movement, and they don't bother to hold it up against the truth of the Word of God, and the whole thing falls apart.
Right. Well, how does covenant theology tie in with replacement theology? Because I know they're kissing buddies or cousins.
Yeah, it's the natural extension of replacement theology, because covenant theology, when taken to its logical conclusions, you end up with no millennium or a symbolic millennium. You know, I have a good friend who went to Christian University with me who is a covenant theologian. And I asked him, I said, how in the world can you believe this? He said, well, I believe things were at a low point the day that Christ was crucified. But then the church was established. Things started getting better. And they're going to get better, 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 better. And when things get so good that we're able to rule with Christ in the kingdom, he's going to return then, but not for a literal 1,000 years, but for all of eternity. So things are getting better and better and better and better. And when they get good enough, Jesus is going to come. And, you know, you see dominion theologians and the other groups that embrace this idea. And I'm like, I asked the guy, I said, how can you possibly believe things are getting better? He said, well, I believe it's kind of like compound interest. You know, you go for a long time with compound interest, and then all of a sudden it jumps up and you get a big number at the end. So, well, my bank account doesn't work that way.
Well, yes, I know. In fact, I used to be in that camp, and one day I kind of pinched myself and said, now, wait a second, your theology just does not jive with reality, and as a matter of fact, it doesn't jive with the Scripture. That's the real issue. Yeah, I know they speak about realized millennialism, and we're supposed to be in some kind of a millennium. Well, you know, Mac, if this is the millennium, I'm afraid of heaven.
Absolutely. Some of these folks are very spiritual people. And to be honest with you, I've visited in churches that are heavily steeped in covenant theology, that do not believe in a literal kingdom, that don't believe in the rapture of the church. And, you know, you sit in the service and it changes the whole climate, it changes their whole perspective of life. And I, you know, as a Baptist dispensationalist, I can't grasp the theology at all. I don't understand how you can just tear out pages of the Bible and say, oh, that's symbolic, or that's not literal, or we can't accept that.
Right. And then you throw in 5-point Calvinism, you really have another bird.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it comes into the doctrinal of election, and I don't know, Larry, have you had any interaction with Rob Congdon and Congdon Ministries?
No, I haven't.
Rob Congdon has written a small little book that's excellent, and I use it as a reference book in this series. Oops, I thought I was a 4-point Calvinist. And he goes through and explains the 5 points of Calvinism, the tulip. And we go over this on this actual DVD of how Calvinism under John Calvin and the new Calvinists under Piper and some of those folks, define the TULIP of Calvinism. And I, you know, after looking at what the definitions really are, you know, I had to come to the conclusion that I am a zero-point Calvinist.
And not even a four-pointer.
I went from four to zero. You know, his book was describing me because, you know, you look at total depravity of man. Yeah, I believe man's depraved. You know, I believe the Bible teaches election, so there's an extent you have to believe it. But I believe all four of the five limited atonement I've always had, I've never been able to accept limited atonement. Because we know that Christ died for the sins of all mankind, but if you take the other 4 points to their logical conclusion, you almost have to believe in limited atonement. So, but Congdon Ministries has the books out, and he talks about what is actually biblical election, and quite frankly, if you believe the Bible and you're a biblicist, you have to almost come to that point in it. But if you really define, and you have to define ULIP the way they define it, or you're not truly looking at the true doctrine as it's taught. And I think so many people do not understand that. And this DVD, I'm not going to say much more about it, but, you know, get the DVD and listen to that portion, because Brother Congdon really did an excellent job of teaching me that.
We're going to have to put the brakes on, but we're going to have Mac Dominic back with us for our next broadcast, and we're speaking about Disc 3 in the series, Are We Building the Kingdom of God? A lot of important issues, well explained, well related to the scriptures. You'll want it, and it'll be very helpful to you. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new DVD titled, Are We Building the Kingdom of God? Volume 3. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $30 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write to us, just send your letter to Post Office Box 76834. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73147. And naturally, you can order anytime online on our website at swrc.com. Our very special offer is to get all three volumes of Are We Building the Kingdom of God for a gift of $50. It is perfect for those who are sheltering in place. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Two California physicians with advanced degrees in microbiology contend that their testing of more than 5,200 patients along with public data show the coronavirus is no more deadly than the seasonal flu. Further, they have concluded that the shelter-in-place theory in the United States and in most of the Western world not only is unnecessary, but it's actually harmful.
Dr. Dan Erickson and Dr. Artin Massahi, co-owners of the Accelerated Urgent Care in Bakersfield, California, told reporters their testing and the data worldwide indicate the case fatality rate is less than 0.1%. Quote, do we need to still shelter in place? Our answer is emphatically no, close quotes.
Both physicians point out that, quote, it is not statistically significant whether you lock down or not. So why are we doing it? Close quotes. They insist that businesses should reopen and people should return to work as the testing continues. Both physicians, noting that each have studied microbiology for 20 years, said that the nation's initial response to the outbreak was probably a good idea, quote, when you don't have any facts. Now that we have the facts, it's time to get back to work, close quotes.
They estimate that in California, a case fatality rate is 0.03%. Does that necessitate shelter in place? Does that necessitate shutting down the medical system? Does that necessitate people being out of work? Erickson noted that 96% of people infected with the coronavirus recover with no significant medical problems. 2 months ago, we didn't know this, he said. They observed that in a typical year, there are between 37,000 and 60,000 deaths from the flu. No pandemic talks, no sheltering in place, no shutting down of businesses.
The physicians were asked why they have confidence in their view of sheltering in place when it conflicts with the mainstream, including the stance of the top White House health advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Dr. Massey said, it's not about being right or wrong, emphasizing they are learning every day and examining trends on the ground. We are seeing what they have been seeing the past 6 to 8 weeks, he said. The reporter followed up asking, why is their view different? Quote, we are actually seeing the patients, he said. Dr. Fauci hasn't seen a patient for 20 years. He's in an ivory tower. We have a world of respect for him. He's a world-renowned immunologist. But academics and reality is two different things.
The doctors warn the practice of sheltering in place will be harmful in the long term. First, they and other physicians they've surveyed see the secondary effect of a spike in incidence of child abuse, domestic violence, substance abuse, and the loss of income. All of these are significantly more detrimental to a society than a virus that has proven similar in nature to the seasonal flu that we have every year, Dr. Erickson said.
Secondly, they argued sheltering in place weakens the personal immunity that is built and maintained through daily exposure to all kinds of viruses and bacteria that are not virulent. And, among other things, vitamin D levels are diminished and mood, which affects immunity, is lowered. Furthermore, the constant disinfecting only makes it worse. As you come out of sheltering in place with a lower immune system and start trading viruses and bacteria, what do you think is going to happen? Disease is going to spike.
The coronavirus has dominated the news over the last 3 months, and we've been confronted with death statistics that overwhelm the mind. Let's take a look at some other statistics to bring things into more of a balance. These represent January 1 through the end of April 2020, 4 months, for the whole world. Death from coronavirus in that time, 212,580. Coronavirus deaths in the U.S. during the same time, 56,855. Now, compare to mothers during childbirth, just over 100,000. To seasonal flu, 158,000, rounded numbers. Malaria, 318,000. Suicide, 348,000. Traffic fatalities, 438,000. HIV AIDS, 545,000. Alcohol deaths, 811,000. Smoking, 1,621,000. Cancer, 2,663,000. Communicable disease, 4,209,000. From hunger, 5,542,000 people have died in just 4 months. And from abortion, 13,785,000. During that same 4 months, approximately $1.7 trillion has been spent worldwide for all aspects of health care for a total of 7,780,843,656 persons as our current world population. These figures are from www.worldometers.info. Now, just this question, imagine what would happen to several of those categories if the effort given to coronavirus was applied to them.
Marie Stopes International, an abortion chain that is using the COVID crisis to thank abortionists for saving lives. The group with a cake emoji, as well as a smiley face with a tongue protruding, said, wishing we could send our abortion providers a slice of this cake. Although they don't wear capes, our MSI providers are superheroes. In the midst of a pandemic, they are working hard to save lives and empower women, close quote.
Their April 17th post read, quote, "Our Ghana call center is now working remotely and responded to 422 calls in one day, referring 88 women to service providers. In countries under lockdown, clinics have worked to remain open while serving clients safely. We are sending all abortion providers so much love. Thank you for the work you do," close quotes.
Fortunately, Marvin, some Facebook respondents did not think much of such posts. One response read this way: "There are true healthcare workers that are fighting hard to save lives, and then there are people like you that celebrate taking them? Twisted. Don't you dare make out like you are a hero on the front lines," close quotes.
Another response said, quote, "You recognize that you are killing half the people that you are talking about here. A mother and baby enter, and a mother is all that leaves alive," close quotes. Another said, quote, "You should actually close these death factories to save lives," close quotes.
Marvin, I think our country took a wrong turn when abortion on demand became the rule of the land.
Pastor Larry, we have slipped back into some great darkness.
It's amazing that this nation still exists and that God hasn't destroyed us.
Well, maybe our days are numbered, Pastor Larry. This is the shedding of innocent blood, and the Bible condemns it.
This horrible massacre of the innocent is not going unnoticed.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new DVD titled, Are We Building the Kingdom of God? Volume 3. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $30 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write to us, just send your letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And naturally, you can order anytime online on our website at swrc.com. Very special offer is to get all three volumes of Are We Building the Kingdom of God for a gift of $50. It is perfect for those who are sheltering in place. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com.
If you haven't already, you should have a look at our Southwest Radio Church Facebook page. If you like it, let us know by hitting the like button. We also have a YouTube channel. We have over 70 videos that are free to watch and enjoy on YouTube.
Thank you for listening today. Be with us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Mac Dominic finish this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.